Ryan Rashaga from TSN joins us. Shagar, how are you?
Doing well today, buddy. How are you guys?
Good. Your comment yesterday got me thinking about the Klefbom-Hamonic trade, and interesting. So I went back and I dug into the numbers of Oscar Klefbom, and in the SEL, Swedish Elite League, at the ages, his draft year and then the 2 years afterwards, he ended up playing 66 games out of a possible 115, which is only 57% of the games. Now, his rookie year, there were a few healthy scratches, but I couldn't confirm exactly how many, so I just went with the games played. But, that's probably – I'll give him 5 games, let's say, that he probably was a healthy scratch. But definitely had an injury there because I Googled it and there were some injuries there. I just didn't say exactly how many games he missed due to the injury. Then since he came to North America in 3 seasons with the Oilers and, of course, his rookie year in the American Hockey League, he has had the opportunity to play 224 games. He is dressed in 166 of them, so that's 74% of his team's games. Now, with the Oilers, though, he actually played 117 of his first 119 games. The only two he missed were a block shot on his foot last year, up until the broken finger from a block shot and then the subsequent staph infection. So I know Matty chimed in on this, and he's like, he doesn't believe that a broken finger or staph infection make him injury prone. He makes him unlucky. What do you think?
Definitely, yeah, a couple of unlucky injuries for sure. If you go back, he missed basically an entire season, did he not? With the shoulder injury?
In the SEL, he played 11 games. That's the year you're talking?
Yeah. And that was the year where they would have liked him to come over. He basically missed the entire season with a shoulder injury there too. So, listen, is it unlucky? For sure. The staph infection thing has been terribly unlucky. I'm not saying that he's a soft player. I'm not saying that he's not a really, really good player that could be a big part of the Oilers' future. And I'm not saying for sure that he's going to be continue to have injury troubles moving forward. I don't know that he is or isn't. His history is that he does have injury troubles, whether it's luck, whatever it is. He's had some significant injuries and run into some injury trouble. It's not like you're trading him for a 29-year-old with 2 years left on his deal, though. If he's part of the Travis Hamonic deal, the Oilers already have some strength over on the left side. They need strength on the right side. Hamonic brings you that. He's got more experience. His cap hit is very, very favorable. He wants to be out in this part of the country. So I think you would really strongly have to consider it. I mean, injuries aside, I think you probably have to strongly consider it. Because Hamonic's deal is that good a deal, and he's that good a player. I mean, we don't see him a lot out here, but you talk to people who cover the Eastern Conference, and they'll tell you that he is just an incredibly valuable defenseman for the Islanders. And if you want to add that kind of value, you got to give up value in return. And so when you give add the injury history in there, to me, it still makes sense. And it has nothing to do with me thinking Klefbom isn't a really good player or going to be a really good player moving forward. But you got to make tough decisions. And that's one that I think they should consider making. If that's what gets the deal done, I'd be strongly considering it if I were them.
See, I think I lean more of the direction of if they were to do that. I think it is a viable trade if you know you are getting another power play-esque defenseman from somewhere else. Maybe not even a guy that has to play in your top pair, but you have to be bringing in a guy that can run your power play. Then I think you have the means to go out and make that trade. If it's just straight up, you don't really get anything else done with your D. I don't see the merit in it.
Well, I agree with you, Cass, in that that can't be the only thing they do. Hamonic isn't the answer for the power play as your power play quarterback, right? I would agree with that, but you haven't moved forward yet. I mean, you could do Klefbom plus I'm not sure what for Hamonic, but you still have all those pieces up front to try and get that other thing done. So just isolate this one on its own. Now, even if they don't go out and get their power play quarterback, and it just ends up being Klefbom plus a little bit for Hamonic, I disagree. I still think there's merit and there's value in doing that because you On the left side, you've got Sekera, you've got Davidson, you've got Nurse, and then you've got Reinhardt as your depth guy. On the right side, they're in trouble over there. And so whether they re-sign Greiber or not, we'll see. But they're in trouble over there. Fane is, man, third-pairing guy at best, and who knows where he'll be at next year. They need help on the right side, and to me, it balances out their D-core. I think a lot of people around the game would tell you that Travis Hamonic is a better player today and probably going to remain as good or better a player than Oscar Klefbom, or certainly in that conversation, even though he's a couple of years older. And I think it gives you that experience, that size, and he's got a little nasty in him too, which Klefbom does not.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Now, Klefbom today skated, Ryan, in a tracksuit and also had a specially fitted boot on. Wasn't on the ice very long. Doesn't look like he's going to play again this season for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, staph infections can be a very serious issue. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
We do know that in this case, because it didn't respond the first time to treatment, they eventually actually had to go in and take a chunk of the meat out to get rid of the infection completely. Right.
Yes.
So I've yet to talk to, and every doctor that I've talked to said, unless they were treating Klefbom, they won't know 100% exactly how bad it was, how much had to be taken out. So what a timeline would be. The fact he's skating obviously is a good sign. The fact that he is in a specially fitted boot, is that only because he wants to see if he can play this year? You know, does he need more time to 100% heal? Those are all questions we'll probably won't get answered until the end of the season. But, it's a string of bad luck, no doubt, for him. I guess my question to you is, what do you think is the potential of Oscar Klefbom long term?
Well, if he stays healthy, I think Oscar can probably develop his way into being a kind of a probably a number two or a number three defenseman. Probably one of those guys who can eat a lot of minutes and who can, put up anywhere from 25 to 40 points. And be a real valuable guy who's really well liked in the dressing room and one of the leaders on the team. I think he's got really good potential. So I think that's why you'd be able to make a deal involving him, because I think other teams see the value in him as well. Now, the way you put that, though, man, if you're the New York Islanders and you're moving Hamonic and you want a defenseman in return, this whole thing of not playing for 4 months or whatever it is, 3.5 months, they're going to have to do some serious due diligence. I mean, would you trade a player like Hamonic for a defenseman who didn't play for the last half of the season because of some freak thing that you're hoping is better?
Well, that's why
you're
going to have team doctors for sure that are going to look into it, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's your foot. Like, we've seen some good players run into foot troubles, and it's basically been the end of him. I mean, it ended, I'm pretty sure that's what ended Peter Forsberg's career, although he was towards the tail end of it. We've seen other guys, and although it's different things and different types of injuries, it's just the feet are one of those things that, man, it can. I would have to think that there would be a deal out there for Gar Snow to make that would involve a player who didn't sit half a season, and that, they might have a tough time getting that deal done because Klefbom has not played. I mean, I bet they're just hoping they can get him ready and hope that Sweden will take him to the World Championships. But who knows if that'll happen, if he can get himself ready for the Worlds even.
Oh, I'd be very surprised, right? If you're not playing competitive hockey, because the thing is, it's not just about getting back skating. He's got to get his cardio up. He basically he's only in a tracksuit. He's not pushing himself. Matt was telling us a story earlier about how he almost passed out in one of the practices with Tippett. You've got to go a long way. Like, when you go out 2 months without really training, man, you lose your cardio quickly. And it's not just something that I think even in 2 weeks he could get back.
I'd say 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks?
I think 2 to 3 weeks if he's – but it depends what he's been able to do off ice as well, right?
I mean, he wasn't able to bike.
Yeah. See, that's – if you're not able to bike and run, then I think it could take even – probably longer than 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, the World Championships are at the end of April, or the beginning of May, really. So, I mean, I don't know. If Oscar makes some strides here in the next couple weeks, he's basically got himself, 3 weeks till the tournament starts to get himself up and running and squared away. But you have to think that World Championships are a goal for him. That's assuming Sweden will even take him. I mean, Sweden's pretty deep on the back end I haven't really run down what the roster will look like based on NHL returns, but he's got to get some games in. Like he's got to find a way to get some hockey in here. And the Oilers, if they want have any hope of moving him in the off season for full value, they need to show the world that he's healthy and playing again. So the worlds would be critical.
Well, I'm sure the Oilers would love him to play there. And I'm sure Klefbom himself would want to play. I'm sure it's infuriating for it. It's a staph infection. You've got to be very patient with it. And it'll see how they move on. It's an interesting one. I'm probably I'm in Matt's camp as far as I'm not sure a staph infection. Yes, it's serious and it's kind of unknown, but it's a one-time thing. And having played 117 of the first 119 games and a broken finger, which can happen on any block shot, especially in today's game where they encourage way too many block shots, in my own opinion.
Yep.
I'm not ready yet to say he's injury prone, but I could understand why someone isn't willing to take the risk to see that he isn't injury prone.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he's still viewed as a really good young player that's got a really bright future, but there is maybe a little bit of a question there. So if you're making him the centerpiece of a high-end trade, that's going to be a question and a concern you have. And so it's up to the Oilers and up to Oscar to just always get some miles on him. Just get some healthy miles on him to show people that he's there and that he's good to go. I don't know how prohibitive it would be to getting full value for him in a deal. I'm not sure. But it definitely is notable. And anyone who's done their homework would come across the same things you've come across and really have the question not fully answered.
Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. Schogger, you touched on a little bit, Todd McClellan, his comments about the power play. We turn it over and we turn it over and we turn it over. We're frustrated with it. Arizona has frustrated the Oilers for 5 seasons. The last time the Oilers beat them in regulation was January 25th, 2011. Since
That's
then,
crazy.
Arizona is 19-0-4. Like, ridiculous.
That's nuts.
It's a ridiculous statistic. And if it was L.A. and Chicago, we've talked about this, we'd be like, well, okay, I can kind of understand it. They're just a flat-out better team. Arizona and Phoenix have not been dominant teams by any stretch of the imagination. Hell, the Oilers finished ahead of them in the standings last year and still couldn't beat them. I think it's just a flat-out work ethic that Tippett has and that the group has bought into. What do you see as the reason why they've been able to dominate?
Yeah, well, and Tippett's been there for most of that, correct? Not all of it? Like, how long has Tippett been there for?
I think Tippett's been there for the entire thing.
Yeah, most of that. So, I mean, I think you could probably boil it down to a common denominator, which is Tippett knows how to, knows the right game plan to employ to beat this Oiler team. And, I mean, there's not really a lot of rocket science to his scenario. It's work, 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 work. They're a hard-working team. They've got total commitment. They like to run their lines. They're just a good, solid, hard-working group, and Tippett gets buy-in from them. They don't have a lot of stars, but they got a lot of guys that work really hard, and it seems like it doesn't matter who they run through there personnel-wise. They all have the requisite work ethic. So maybe it's a formula that Tippett just gets something out of his troops that just does not stack well against the Edmonton Oilers.
Tonight, if you were the Oilers and it's late in the season, would you rather see Lander or Cracknell tonight?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, I've seen enough of Anton Lander. I've seen enough of him to have a pretty good understanding of what he is. I don't know. I mean, what's he going to do that he hasn't had the opportunity to do on so many nights already this year? So, I don't know. If they're still trying to get a sense for Kraken and where he fits in, I'd just play him. And he's more physical. I'd probably go Cracknell. Like, is there anything about Lander you're not sure on? Because I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's why, to me, Adam Cracknell did something that, he's a fourth line player at best. And I have no problem with that. But cheap fourth liners can be very important for your team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they can. You get guys that, Matt Hendricks is a pretty expensive player for where he plays in the lineup, right? So the more guys you can have that are under $1 million that will give you fourth line honest minutes, and it'll bang and crash a little bit. I mean, those are important pieces and important players, and Cracknell's still pretty young. So yeah, if I were the Oilers, I'd be giving him the opportunity and sussing it out and seeing if he can bring a little bit of consistency, because that's the one thing Lander can't. I mean, the only thing he's been consistent at really is the faceoff circle, and I know that that's important, but I know what Anton Lander is. My instinct is they probably do too, and they're still learning a little about Adam.
I completely agree. I don't think there's any reason why you wouldn't want to see him again and see more of him. And he's a guy that can take draws too. And at the end of the day, you don't want Lander to be your best centerman that you're sending out there for your power play because your other guys can't win a draw.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I'm kind of the whole attest to on the power play thing is getting a little old too. I think the play is, you know, when it runs through him, it doesn't. And I get you got to win the draws. I get it. Kills your power play if you don't. But
who would you put in his place?
Yeah, well, Yakupov's already out there. I mean, when Pouliot's healthy, then it's a little bit of a no-brainer. I don't know. Maybe Cassian as a net front presence. Maybe. Cassian can make plays. Like Cassian can at least, you know, he can make plays with his head up, and he can, you know, I find that he has the skill level to play with those players more so than Letestu, who's not overly fast, isn't great at digging pucks out, and I don't know. I would rather see someone with a little bit more skill and playmaking ability. And I get you got to win faceoffs, but it seems to me like he's a bit of an anchor out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's a guy who doesn't finish, but he's had more quality chances on their power play than other guys. He finds the openings that the other guys don't. He just doesn't finish.
Maybe guys are finding him, and they need a better finisher there.
Yeah, okay, but that's my point is, if you look at how their power plays are set up, like is maybe Cassian's a better finisher, but does Cassian have the instincts to slide off and find the openings, right? Because I know everybody's going to say, well, put Nail Yakupov there. Well, Nail Yakupov hasn't shown anybody that he has the ability to find the soft spot and get open.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just there's only so many grade A opportunities that he can miss the net or not bury. I mean, he had one the other night where it was, you know, if that's somebody with a little bit higher skill level, they're turning on that puck and blasting it into the open spot instead of low and into the pad. I don't know. They have enough skill that I just think they should have their finishers out there. But I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little hard on them. I've noticed the last few games, it's kind of been like, yeah, the play just seems to, you know, when he ends up with it, it's like, it's not it's not happening on the same level as when some of those other guys have it. And I'm not saying everybody else has been great, and he's far from the main problem. I mean, they had some terrible giveaways from players last game that are on that power play all the time. But let's face it, they're not coming off the power play. So if anything, tweak and add a little more skill in that spot where he is.
Schauger? Will the Oilers end the five-year and two-month drought tonight?
I'm going to go away on a limb and say no. They don't. Why would it change tonight, hey?
Well, eventually it's got to change.
I think it changes tonight.
Yeah.
You think they beat him, eh?
I think they beat him tonight. Tonight's the night.
Okay.
Do they score a power play goal is the better question.
Yeah, that's just it.
Maddie,
yeah, sure.
Maddie's shaking his head.
They'll get a power play goal and lose.
What if they get two power play goals and lose?
That would be shocking. Yeah. It's happened this year.
Positive to focus on after the game.
That would be shocking. They are 5 for their last 44 on the man advantage, and that includes one game where they scored 4 goals. Yeah. So in 15 of their last 17 games, they don't have a power play goal. Not good. Schauger, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, boys. Take care.